to turn it on. Lots of hats. That's what we're talking about right now for the recording. And then I'm a conference administrator. Actually, this was really funny. I was talking to Andy O'Connell, who's like the main administrator guy for Salt and Light, and we've become email BFFs. Do you guys have any email BFFs? Like people that you don't actually know in real life, but you exchange so much email that you feel like you should actually be friends. So I've become email BFFs with Andy O'Connell over the course of trying to get all of these visitors from all over the country, trying to get everybody picked up and a place to stay, and yada, yada, yada. And so he was asking me what my job was at the church. I'm like, I don't actually work here. Because he was all confused because Jay Lauderer, is my actual boss for like the 10 hours a week that I work in a paid position. And so Andy had mentioned, I talked to a guy and he said that you work for him, but I thought you worked for the church. No, 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 it's just one of my hats. I'm a conference administrator. And then I've got my personal hats. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a friend. And my professional hats, that's funny. That's not what that's supposed to say. I'll edit that later. Professional hats. I'm an administrative assistant. I am an entrepreneur. I do event planning business with my sister. Yeah, so that's pretty fun. So I wear lots of hats. And it can feel like each of those hats is a different version of yourself. Does anybody ever feel that way? Mm-hmm. Like who you are at work, you're like undercover.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you might be the one who is like preaching the truth on a Sunday morning in a service, and then you get to work and you're just on the assembly line.
Right.
Right? I mean, probably not quite that extreme. But it is true. We feel like the different parts of who we are belong in our different roles. And here's what I say about that. Oh, come on, load.
Stop it!
Because that is not actually God's design for us.
Come on.
And it's easier said than done, but it can be done. If we go to the Lord and recognize the truth
right.
about it.
Right.
So, go on to the next slide.
Andrew, what does that mean? What does stop it mean in that? In this?
Okay, so this funny, the stop it, it's like a 6-minute video. You should totally Google it. Bob Newhart, stop it. Okay. He is like this counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist guy, and this lady comes to him about all of her problems, and his solution is to stop it. Like, let's not. You don't need medication. You don't need counseling. You need to stop it. Stop it. So that's what he just says. Every time she tells him about a problem, he says, stop it. And so it cracks me up because, do any of you know Doug Quickbaum?
Doug.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. Is that what the Bible says? Nope, then stop it. Because, yeah. Okay, so let me see if I can get this to advance. Okay, so this idea I get out of Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, that means God's, right? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we are God's workmanship, he didn't say that he created us in multiple personalities. It's that he created us and gave us good works to do.
Right.
And those good works come out of who we are. And those good works are relevant in every aspect of our lives. Right? So if God gave us gifts and strengths, like what Danny talked about, you know, doing your strength finder and figuring out, okay, what's your personality? What are your strengths? What kind of special skills do you have that are, you know, kind of unique to who you are? All of that should be brought to bear for the sake of the kingdom of God, because we are here as an outpost of the kingdom of God, right? Like that is our function here. If we belong to Christ, and we do, unless the Holy Spirit hasn't gotten to you yet, and then you can go have an altar call. Everywhere that we go, there goes the kingdom.
Yep.
And so this is the mindset that I have learned. I mean, I'm not that old, but I have learned a couple of things, at least. Thank you, Lord. What I've learned is that everywhere that I go, I own that space. Does that make sense? Not in like a ta-da, here I am kind of a way, but and I am here representing my God.
It's really good.
And I am a kingdom person. I am his representative. It goes to this scripture, Ephesians 6:19-20. This is Paul, our favorite guy, after he's just given the armor of God, which we'll get back to the armor of God, so we'll have context for this. But he said, "Pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." So Paul is talking about being an ambassador, which means, I don't know, have any of you guys had experience traveling overseas or visited an embassy? Anybody?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens at the American embassy in a foreign country? Do you guys know?
You're actually standing on American soil.
Yes. You are standing on American soil.
Cool.
And so if you are an employee of the embassy, actually, there is a green zone around you, is what they call it. Okay? So in this green zone, you are under the laws of the United States of America.
Cool.
And you are under the protection of the government of the United States of America.
Yep.
Right? Which is a very reassuring thing if you're in a developing nation that doesn't have a lot of, you know, good law enforcement and stuff. You know, that can be kind of a scary situation. It also means that you are immune from prosecution if you break the laws of that nation. So think about that for just a minute. If we are ambassadors, then everywhere that we go, we're making a green zone.
That's good.
Where the laws of our God apply.
That's really good.
Right? And if we are ambassadors in chains, like what Paul says, we are compelled everywhere that we go to establish an outpost of the kingdom. So what I would say is that everywhere that you go, on your job, in your classroom, in your home, in your church building, in your city, in your community, in your outreaches, there is the kingdom of God with all of its law, with all of its permissions, with all of its regulations and culture. And so if that is true, then I think of myself as Tour Guide Barbie. This is, I know. I got to do tours for a little while. I did public relations for a local company. And one of the jobs that I got to do is when we had visitors onto the campus, I got to give them a tour of the campus and tell them about the history of the company and show them the CEO's office and who would do a meet and greet. It was like the best job ever. Because I'm an introvert, but I'm also a people person, you know, so I like to be friendly, I like to talk to people, and then I need to go home and, like, recover from that. But I got to be Tour Guide Barbie. So what I started to recognize is that when I would see people, they saw me as a representative of that company, right? And so they just assumed that if they had any questions about anything, they could come and talk to me about that. That's happening here at conference, too. Like, I try to go to the ladies' room, and I get stopped 5 times because people have questions. And I'm so thrilled to do that. But you are also a tour guide of the kingdom. And so when you go into a room, your job is to introduce people to the kingdom.
It's really good.
Right? And so I consider myself a hostess. I go into a room, and even though my natural state would be kind of introverted and to be kind of shy, I'm realizing, oh, well, I have to introduce these people to the kingdom, so I'm, like, on my game, right? Because these people might not know the king. Or if they do, maybe there's brokenness in them. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's heartache in them. Maybe, I mean, think about it, guys. What's happening behind the mask of people all the time, you know? I can't. Because you see people. I remember one time a sales rep came into Jay's office, and Jay wasn't there quite yet, or he was on the other line. So anyway, the guy sat down by my desk, and he's a sales guy, so he was wanting to tell Jay about his company, whatever it was. And I got to talking with him, and I have a gift of empathy. I can put myself in people's shoes and really you can't really ever understand exactly somebody else's perspective, but you can try.
Right.
You can kind of put yourself there. And so I'm just talking to this guy, making conversation, just asking about his life. And he ends up like all choked up. I don't even know why, except that it was the Holy Spirit
right.
telling me about this miscarriage that his wife had just had.
Wow.
Well, for those of you that know me, I've been through 3 miscarriages. And I can totally relate to what he was going through in that moment. And so we had like this little cry bond fest there, and I was able to minister to him peace and a little bit of the gospel, because I didn't just see myself in that moment as an administrative assistant, but an ambassador of the kingdom. And I just used who I am and my life to reach somebody. Now, he didn't get saved right there. We didn't like have a prayer meeting or anything like that. But he was touched with the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
And it's just along the way. Man, I did not intend to tell all of that. Okay.
Thank you.
So, my question is, what gifts do you have? Do you have a gift of prophecy, a gift of administration, accounting? Do you fix stuff? Are you good at building relationships? Are you a mom? Are you a dad, a sister, a friend, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist? Do you have a leadership skill? Do you play basketball? Are you an artist? Who are you? Right? Because you're not me. And you're not any of the fancy guys. Right? You're just you. So who are you and why does it matter? And it matters because we are compelled to use what's in our hand, our gifts, our talents, our personality, to minister the kingdom of God to the lost and broken around us wherever we find them. So this is the promise that we have in Revelation. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Didn't you love that song last night? Just makes you just like want to come out of your skin. Yes, that's right. That's true.
Yes.
But it's like we walk in a measure of the fulfillment of this. And someday we'll really see it.
Right.
But because I'm an ambassador, everywhere that I go is the kingdom. So into this workplace, into this wedding that I'm coordinating, into this home where I raise my children, into this conference, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Right here, right now. In our offices, our homes, our classrooms, our gyms, our factories, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of prison doors to those who are bound. Isaiah 61. And so everywhere that I go, God has anointed me. So who here in this place where there's an outpost of the kingdom, because I arrived, who is poor, who is brokenhearted, who is a captive, who is bound? And I am obligated to do something about it. I am compelled. I am an ambassador in chains. Now, I'm not a great evangelist. I'm not. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a lot of professional things. But I am me. And so, that's my question for you. What is in your hand? What do you bring to the table? And you should really, we should really give time to figuring that out. That whole spiel that Danny gave us and some good resources, do it. Go find out. If you're not good at introspection, then ask a friend. Ask a spouse. Ask a parent, a child. Do some quizzes online. Whatever you need to do. And get an idea of who you are. Now, one caveat to that, I have to say, is that our example is Jesus. So who I am today is not who I'm supposed to become, right?
That's good.
So I can take a personality test and a strength finders test and whatever it is, and I can learn a lot about who I am right now, which is helpful and useful because it's what I have in my hand. But also, it shows me where my deficiencies are, right? Because Jesus is our example, and he was the perfect person. And so, hopefully, that's back here, Mark. I hope in 5 years, when I take another strength finder test or personality test or whatever it is, that I don't get the same results. You know what I mean? So you've got what's in your hand, and then you've also got what you're becoming. Because unlike people in the world who are living without Christ, we are being transformed.
That's right.
Day by day, renewed in our mind. We've got a great example to follow. And most people don't, outside the body of Christ, most people don't have anybody that is holding up a mirror to them and challenging them to change and to grow. Right? That's not like how the world does things. People come to maturity and then, you know, unless they really grab a hold and embrace life experience or embrace the Lord or come to some point of crisis in their life and they change to meet the crisis, most people stay fairly static in their personalities. So the good news for us is that what's in your hand isn't permanently the only thing that's in your hand. So that's encouraging, I think.
Yes.
Does anybody want to go back and be their 17-year-old self?
You?
Or even worse, their 13-year-old self. Nobody wants that. So we've been talking, our administrative team, and then by extension our church, we have been talking about the loaves and fishes in Matthew 14, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And I'm just going to go ahead and repeat it. I know Obi had a prophetic word about this the other morning, but I think it bears repeating. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew to a boat privately to a solitary place. This is in verse 13 of Matthew 14. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. Let somebody else take care of it. Let the people take care of themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." You. Mm-hmm. Each one of us. Give them something to eat. And what do they have in their hands? "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. So the call is to give them something to eat. But you only have what you have, right? None of us know how to magically multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we don't have to be able to do that. Our job is to bring what we have. And then bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. You know what I love about this? The disciples brought what they had, which wasn't very much. Then Jesus blessed it. And what did he give back to them?
What they brought.
What they brought, exactly. He gave them back 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Isn't that interesting? And then God made that 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 5,000 people.
Good.
So all I do is bring what I have. God, bless it. Lord, I can organize people. Bless it. That's all I've got. Lord, I can be empathetic to people. That's all I've got. Lord, I know how to do accounting. That's all I've got. Or I'm an engineer. That's all I've got. But Lord, you bless it. And then I give my 5 loaves and my 2 fishes out. And then God takes care of the rest. Right?
Good.
Because wherever you are, God has given you the assignment to be there. He has.
Good.
And so if I'm an outpost of the kingdom, and I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I give it to God, and then God does it all. And, you know, we had this happen, like, nonstop over this conference. We had people needing hospitality that couldn't afford to stay in a hotel or really wanted some relational connections. And we had friends who helped multiply the loaves and fishes. And I actually have empty space in my house right now. It's the craziest thing. Because there was more left over. And we didn't know that we were going to have enough people to serve all the food and to clean all the buildings. But did everybody eat?
Yeah.
Yep.
Everybody ate, right? It's the loaves and fishes. We bring what we have, and God does the miracle. Because it's his kingdom. It's not the Andrea kingdom. I'm not an outpost of the Andrea kingdom. Nobody would want to live in that. Right? No. It's his kingdom, and I'm just an ambassador. I represent the king. So if it's his kingdom, and I'm bringing my little bit, then it's all up to him, right? Which is, I think, a relief.
Yeah.
That it's not all on me. It's just not. So we have a couple of examples from Scripture as well that we can look at, which Scripture, that's... That's a good place to start. You know, my life experience could be a little flawed. But you guys remember Daniel? Daniel was great at this. He got pulled out of his home and out of his country and told to serve in Babylon. But did he change?
Nope.
No. And he brought 3 friends along with him to help him too. So Daniel went from being a kid hiding away in the village doing whatever little Jewish boys did in the day, I don't know, studying the Torah or something probably. So he went from that to being plucked by the king of Babylon to serve. But Daniel didn't change. I mean, he grew, right? He grew, absolutely. But he created an outpost of the kingdom of God where he was, and it offended a lot of people. Yes. Not because Daniel was a jerk, right? Because that's an important distinction that we have to make.
Yeah.
Like Danny was talking about. Don't be an obnoxious jerk, right? Just because you're an outpost of the kingdom does that not mean that wherever you go, you rule. Stop it.
Stop it,
yeah. But it does mean that you are representing Christ.
That's good. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So if you have a gift of wisdom and discernment and leadership like Daniel did, then you bring those things to bear in the kingdom where you're working. Right? Because it's now become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Mm-hmm. So you keep being who God's made you to be. You keep bringing your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes, and God will do it. And that's what God did for Daniel. And then we see Joseph. Joseph had a hard row to hoe. I mean, I don't think I'd like that living in the prison much. I don't think I'd like going from being my father's favorite to being a slave.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. And we do see, once again, Joseph changed over the course of the story, right? He goes from being in the bottom of the well because his brothers tossed him there to being second in command of Egypt. And we see that he became more Christ-like as he went along, right?
He kind of was a little bit of a jerk.
He was a jerk. So there's hope for all of us. If you're a jerk, don't worry. You can change. Yes. And if you're shy and retiring and you never open your mouth, then you've got Moses to look to. Right? So whatever, I mean, you know yourself. Or if you don't know yourself, somebody probably knows you and can tell you which side of the spectrum that you fall on. And there's hope for all of us that we don't have to stay with our deficiencies, but we can grow and to be what God wants us to be. So some examples from my own life, because that's all I have to share with you is the scripture in my life. So I am, according to all my personality tests, I'm a pretty well-balanced personality. I'm introverted but friendly, and it doesn't freak me out to stand up here and talk in front of people. I'm empathetic, and I can see, I can, you know, divide myself from what I think and what I believe in and see the world from somebody else's perspective, so that's helpful. But I'm firm in my convictions, and I'm not swayed easily by others. I mean, once I'm convinced I'm right, Katie, bar the door. Because I'm right. That's what I tell my husband. He is exactly like that, too. So you can imagine the conversation we have.
I'm trying to agree with the husband. The boss and the husband are very good.
Yeah. I don't get to boss him, though. So God was helping me with that. So I'm a leader. But as I'm growing, I'm becoming less domineering, so God is helping me with that. I'm prophetic, but I'm also compassionate, you know, so I'm not like a chop-em-up kind of person. And so what does the application of those kind of random gifts, personality, what is that, how does that relate into the different hats that I wear in different environments? So first of all, I should say, I really try hard to be the same person everywhere that I am. That is hard to do. Sometimes I know that you guys can all relate to that. But I do try to remember that I'm an outpost of the kingdom, and God has made me who I am, and it's to do good works. And so all of who I am, there might be a particular gift or personality trait that's more applicable in this situation, you know, but I try not to be an undercover agent. I try to be who I am. So the brides that I work with in my business, I said I did event planning. It's mostly weddings that I do. They get the same Andrea that I am as the Andrea that was organizing this conference. Now, I don't pray over the spreadsheet in front of them when it doesn't work out. The spreadsheet for who's going to do what, you know, because sometimes there's more work to do than people to do it. So I'm not usually saying to them, Lord Jesus, multiply the loaves and fishes here. Okay, I kind of do that privately, but I do it under my breath. I'm like, okay, God, they want me to do magic here, and I don't know what to do. Do you have an idea? And God usually provides. So I can take, you know, those visionary people that Danny was talking about. I like to take their big ideas and make them happen. I'm more of a take something big and I can put it down into its doable parts. And I'm good at delegating. And so if I get to know you a little bit and understand you, then I can kind of figure out what you might be good at. And so I'll try to give you something to do that you can be successful at and that you can really shine at. And so for a bride, I would take this big, huge thing, which is her wedding day, which is so over-commercialized in this culture, so please It's crazy. But it's a big day. It's a really important event, and they are all high stress, and they are freaking out about everything. Not you. That's right. I didn't either. But people do this, not me. But people do this. And so I take my little gift mix of some administration and some empathy, and I make that bride feel like this is all under control. We can all calm down. You can go get your hair and nails done, and all of this is going to work out just fine. Right? I mean, that's a silly thing, and I make money doing it. Not very much money. But it's an instant stress reliever for her, you know? And for conference, I take the vision that Doug Craigbaum and all of the Salt and Light, the C2C leaders have, and I figure out what people need to do what parts, and then get them going along that track. Yeah. And if it's brand new and they've never done it before, then I walk with them. Cool. You know, they're like my little buddy. If it's somebody who's like way more experienced at this than me and they're a professional, I just say, here's what we need to do. Go forth and prosper. Bless you. Call me if you need anything. And then I just assume that it will be taken care of. So that's... Does that help? It's still me, right? And it's still who I am, and it's still what God's given me to do, but it's applied in different areas. So, The Incredibles and the Full Armor of God. Some of you guys have heard this before?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's good.
But it was too good. I had an opportunity to use it again. It's like my favorite clip in the world. So here we go.
Honey!
What?
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit?
I put it away.
Where?
What do you need to know?
I need it!
Don't you think about running off to do it?
Woman, we are talking about the greater good.
Greater good? I am your wife. I'm the greatest good you are ever gonna get.
Sorry, it cracks me up. So welcome to one of my favorite movies. So what does this have to do with anything? Well, my question for you is, who's looking for their super suit? Who's looking for their super suit? Yes, Trey. You're looking for your super suit?
I am, yeah.
Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, our spiritual super suits. We'll read this whole passage just because it's so good, and then it ties into that other scripture, so then you get the full context. Finally, be strong in the Lord. This is Paul ending this letter to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities. Can I just say that that's really important to remember? That annoying person at work is not actually your enemy. Or whatever the setting is, that professor or that boss or whoever it is. We are in a spiritual battle. And the people that you're dealing with are nasty because they are in bondage to the enemy. They are in bondage to sin and to brokenness. They are captive to it, and they don't know how else to behave. So they take it out on you. They do. People are nasty. People are also kind and wonderful. So you run into both. But when people are nasty, do not return evil for evil, but ask God to give you the mind of the Spirit. Why is this person a jerk? Do you have a gift of prophecy? Use that in your workplace. ask God to give you a prophetic word. And you don't have to go up to them and say, thus saith the Lord, shababa, and freak them out. But you can say to them, you know, I was praying about you the other day. I was praying for you. And I felt like God wanted me to tell you. Or you can even be less weird. And you can just ask about their life and the direction that God has given you and start asking the right questions and find out about what's happening behind the scenes. What is happening behind this mask? Whether it's a nice mask or a mean, nasty mask. What is happening behind it? And ask the Lord to give you the compassion to see that, because our armor and our fight is spiritual, not physical. So don't take it out on the people around you.
That's good.
Okay, where was I? Oh yeah, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So my question for you, who in your life needs a supersuit? Who needs the armor of God? Because we have access to it. I mean, sometimes we forget. I mean, you probably don't. I forget. Right? Anybody ever get stressed out at work and then you come home and you take it out on your friends or your family? Right?
Occasionally.
I do it all the time. I mean, how many times have I had to apologize to my husband and to my kids? I've lost count at this point, and I'm probably not done apologizing. It's just going to happen. But I know about the armor of God, and I can put it on, and I should put it on. But do you have a coworker that needs the helmet of salvation? You probably do. Right? Do you have a friend or a family member that needs the belt of truth? You probably do. Because we all need the belt of truth. Right? How about a child that needs the shield of faith? Right? It's a spiritual supersuit. And what we can do as ambassadors of the kingdom, as an outpost of the kingdom, we can help hand out spiritual armor. Now, it's the Holy Spirit that does it, right? We're not in the place of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know that you need a spiritual supersuit, how can they know? Unless someone tells them. And that's us. We tell them. And we don't have to be weird about it. I mean, we can be weird about it. Maybe it falls short, I don't know. I mean, you just have to be discerning. We don't have to be weird about it. But there are people in our lives who need what we have. And how do we know that? Because they're in our lives. That's it. Wherever you are is where you're called to be. And if you're an outpost of the kingdom, then your 5 loaves and 2 fishes are what the Lord is going to use for the occasion. Hallelujah, amen. Right? And, you know, I think sometimes that it would be nice to have Glenn Middleton along with, I mean...
Every day.
You know, every day, except for when he does the crazy things, you know, the drop-kicking story. It's like, yeah, no. But it would be nice to have Glenn Middleton whispering in my ear to tell me what I should be doing in this situation. But I don't have him. He comes and he gives us ideas and he equips us, which is really helpful because you do get new ideas for what to do and you get new strategies in place. But the answer to the situation of the people that you find yourself near is you. You are the hands and feet of Christ in that situation. So, this is the question I'm leaving you with. Who are you? And how can you use it to equip other people with the armor of God? Anybody? Does anybody know who they are to start with? And how that can be used?
What's that word you use? Introspector, if you're not good at introspection. Right? That's a word, right? So I need someone who's good at that, I guess.
To help you?
Me. Yeah, to kind of help me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think probably starting with taking a personality test.
Sure.
Talking to your spouse, mm-hmm. since she knows you best. That's always a good place to start. So that's a good strategy. If you're not an introspective person necessarily, then how can you find out who you are? Start by talking to the people that live day-to-day life with you, for sure. And then take some quizzes. I don't know. I mean, they're not the gospel, but sometimes they're helpful, you know, just to kind of get you thinking or help you understand yourself a little bit better. So that's good. Anybody else? How can you use what's in your hand? I've got a couple of examples for you. Bless you. If examples help. My dad is an HVAC guy. He does heating and cooling. No problem. And so he does that for a business. And he also teaches it at a local community college. He has a vision in his mind to disciple young people, young men primarily, because that's the field that he's in. Not a whole lot of ladies are drawn to that field for whatever reason. He has it in his heart to disciple young men to have a trade and to be useful in the kingdom. So he disciples young men, and he teaches them HVAC, and along the way, he's teaching them about how to be a man.
Good.
You know? He also ministers to his neighbors with his HVAC skills, and he will come over in a pinch when it's freezing cold out and take a look at your heater and see if he can get you fixed up. And how much does that disarm people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. If somebody does you a favor, don't you feel like
yeah.
you need to somehow return that?
That's good.
Well, it certainly lowers your defenses, mm-hmm. you know? So he's using HVAC as a tool for the kingdom. My mom is the quintessential mother. I'm the oldest of six, and she grew up in a completely dysfunctional home. Her family split apart when she was in her teens. So Jesus raised her. She does not remember a time in her life where she and God did not have personal conversations, like from her very earliest memories. She and Jesus were best friends. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit when she was part of the Catholic Church. And then her family broke apart. But she has six children who are all, like, contributing members of society.
Awesome.
Nobody's living on the streets. Nobody's an alcoholic. Nobody's in jail.
Wonderful.
We had a couple of close calls with the youngest, but praise the Lord.
PTL.
He's doing okay. And so that's what she brings. She is a mother. And so it's funny now because she just keeps on mothering everywhere that she goes. So now she teaches in our school.
Yeah.
She's the kindergarten teacher. It is the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. My mom with these little kindergartners, and they just follow her around because they think she's great. She's Grandma Mary.
Yeah.
They love her. Half of the students are related to her anyway, so she really is Grandma Mary.
That's so awesome.
But that's what she does. She's a mom.
Yeah.
And so every child that she encounters, she loves on them. And in turn, they love her back. And so she is reaching kids with the kingdom.
Yeah.
By just being a mom. Yes, Chairman.
Did you say she's Mother Mary full of grace?
Yes.
Well,
the funny thing, no, her siblings call her Mother Mary. She is the third of nine.
Wow.
And all of her siblings have turned into stable people now. But she was always the one that was toeing the line. She was for God.
Right on.
And always has been since her earliest years. And so, yeah, her siblings call her Mother Mary. Because she was always the one telling people what they should and should not do and setting the example for them. Yeah, so Mother Mary. And then Obi is a nurse practitioner.
Yes.
Did you guys know that by trade?
Yep.
He's MP. Also a pastor. He's an elder.
Yes.
Here in this church. And so he brings what he has, both spiritually and physically, into every situation. And so he has patients that he helps bring physical healing to, but he also ministers to them spiritually.
Right.
He has prayed for countless numbers of people, because when you're sitting there in the paper gown,
yeah,
you're feeling really vulnerable.
When my wife was having a knee surgery, I didn't even know he worked there, and he came up and he was like, well, let's pray. Boom. So it's pretty cool. Right there in the...
Oh, cool. Yeah. See, I didn't know that happened because HIPAA. So I didn't know about that. So that's really cool to hear. Yeah. So he's a nurse practitioner. Well, he also brings spiritual and physical healing to members of the church body and to coworkers that might not come to him with a physical complaint, but they need healing nonetheless. And so what's in his hand is a gift of healing. It's a spiritual gift, and it's also a physical gift. But everywhere that he goes, he's an outpost of the kingdom, and so he brings healing, because that is who God has made him to be.
Good.
So what about you guys? Yes.
Well, there are some things that I am. I'm a pastor, but mm-hmm. before I became a pastor, like officially, like the time, you know, like, I took one of those tests, and my lowest gift was mercy. So, it's out of 25, I got 0.
Oh!
Okay, so what did I do? I started hanging out with people that had more mercy. So, the
yes.
next time I took it, so the next time
That's
I took it,
awesome.
It wasn't that low. It wasn't 20.
Right.
It wasn't that low. So.
That's awesome. That is one thing that I started doing as a young girl and that I try to teach other people to do. Find somebody that you admire and start emulating them and start hanging out with
That's
them.
Really good.
Jesus, of course,
That's good.
Through the scripture. But who has the quality that you know that you lack and that you need?
That's good.
That
is
Go
good.
Find them.
That is good.
Why not? Start having lunch with them. Start going over to their house. Invite them over to where you are and see if that can start to rub off on you and you can become more like Christ in that area. That's so great. Anybody else? What do you bring?
I was thinking about this, Andrea, thinking about how Danny yesterday talked a lot about leaders and how, but I think one of the ways you can answer this question for my life is a friend, that I can just be a friend to people.
Yes.
Think about, especially as a young person in the workforce, nobody wants, most people aren't looking for somebody, especially if they've been in the workforce a long time, that's 20 years, they're younger, all of a sudden coming up and telling them how to do
awesome
things
around.
And what
yeah.
to do, even
no.
if you are,
nobody
have,
likes that.
You know, leadership ability.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come as a friend and you develop relationship with people, mm-hmm. that is an open door for the
right.
armor, for the kingdom of God
yeah,
to come
absolutely.
In. So tons of people that I work with and the clinic that I work with, I don't try to come in and say, this is my position, this is what I
right.
do. I just try to develop inside jokes and, you know, a bond with people as a friend and to begin to try to develop that relationship with them.
Yeah.
And that gives me a voice where they actually want to hear my voice. They're
yeah,
like, hey,
absolutely.
Andrew's in the office, you know, or things
right.
like that. And then that gives you that opportunity
right.
to come. So I think there's a lot of giftings and things that we talk to, but just that simplicity
just
of
being a friend.
Yeah, you just need to, people just need
and
a friend.
I would also say in this instance, being a disciple,
yep.
because that is not something that is known in the world, but if you've grown up in this family, you know how to be a disciple, and you know how to go pull things out of the people that are ahead of you and get what's in them in you. So do that. If you're a young person in the workplace, even if you're the manager and they're your employee,
right.
pull on them because they know more than you about something.
That's right.
I mean, right? Everybody that you meet can teach you something because nobody's lived the exact same life. So pull on them. Practice being a disciple. Don't not do your job, of course. Don't come and submit where you shouldn't come and submit. But if you come to people wanting what they have and pulling out what they have, that disarms them. It does. And so then if you're in that awkward position where you're the manager or you're the leader and you've got all these older people that might resent you, if you're being a friend and coming to them and pulling out of them like you would in a discipleship relationship, that would open the doors of the kingdom. That's awesome. Way to go, Andrew.
That's good.
Anybody else? Yes, Obi.
One of the situations sometimes when we're at work, well, I'll just give you my story. I ended up working with this guy at a new job and working with this guy who we all work with people that are kind of loud, seem obnoxious, it's always about them. And so I had a situation like that, and I always just came home and I was just upset because he was always about himself or talking about himself. And so it was just one of those examples that you gave. And so we all do this. You go home and you think about it. And so, God took me to the woodshed about it, and I decided to take a moment and listen to him. And at one moment, he was talking about he was divorced several years ago. He spent $34,000 trying to initiate parental rights with his kids and kept fighting the system and never won. So he ended up leaving his kids to his ex-wife, who were 4 and 2, and they're now in their 20s, and he's not seen them since then. So he kind of opened up a little bit and kind of slammed the door really quickly. And so Dave and Beth teach this, talk about sozo. And so instead of making it weird and just using the principles of being kind and just meeting them where they are. So we had the following day, he was back to himself. And after talking about several things, I came back to the, hey, you talked about your ex-wife and your kids and I said, do you mind? And I was praying for you. Do you mind if I pray for you? So he's in the middle of the office. And I said, I said, Jesus, and just prayed a quick, simple prayer. And I looked at him, and I could see that somewhere in there, God was doing something. He was beginning to tear up and beginning to open and say, I'm really hurt. I've been carrying this for a long time.
Yep.
And so we never know when people, there are broken people everywhere, and they work with you.
Yeah.
They work with you, and you carry the gift of healing. And sometimes some of the things that we learn at church and we use in our home groups and stuff, and then we can package those things and take it to work. And they don't have to carry, it doesn't have to be Christianese. You don't have to fancy it up. People just want to know that you care. So in that moment, now I know that if I go to work next time, I got something that I can build. I didn't get saved there, but I know in that moment the Holy Spirit is
good.
So
using those things that we use on a Sunday morning, home groups, small groups, discipleship, we all carry those things. At Outpost of the Kingdom, wherever you go, you might be the only Bible they get to ever see or open up, even if they tell you that they go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The church that they talk about is not the church that you talk about. And so you have what they need. And that's why God puts you in that place. Wherever you are right now, no matter how off your job feels, or no matter how great your job feels, you are there at the right time for that moment.
All right. I think we are about out of time. Any last questions, comments? You've got this wonderful story. Yes, Trey, you have good stories.
It's about what you bring. One thing that has worked for me is catching people doing things right.
Yes.
With that gift of encouragement.
Yes.
Just to say, I noticed when you did that,
yes,
that was really good.
Yes.
And you're really good at that.
Yep.
And especially, I have a pretty analytical mind, and I can tear things apart pretty easily, but it's better to catch people doing things right and encourage them. There was a lady at my work that had a clerical position, and there was a business analyst position coming up, and I said, you should apply for that job. And she's like, really? You think I could do that? I said, oh, yeah. Just go apply for that. And this person has worked her way up, and she's basically she does the same kind of thing I do, which is like a computer analyst, systems analyst position now. But it just took
cool.
And she thanked me. I saw her 2 years later. She caught me on the street and thanked me for encouraging her to apply for a position.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she will remember that moment forever.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Yes.
And I would say follow promptings of the Holy Spirit. We were getting ready to do a small group, a book on marriage.
Uh-huh.
We kind of targeting our church group. And there was a lady in my office. I just kind of kept feeling prompted like I should invite them. So I talked to Doug and said, hey, what do you think about having someone from the outside? Because we're trying to do some discipleship. And so he said, yeah, go for it. When I went and shared with her, she and her husband had started reading that book, and they were wanting a small group to do it with, and she started weeping right there.
That's so cool.
So, yeah, I think we
should
follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Yeah,
awesome.
Good job. To follow through with it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Good job.
And they came to the group.
That's so
cool.
I love it.
You're a real Christian.
All right. Anything else? Okay, then I think we've got a 15-minute break before Jay comes. So thank you, guys.
Thank
we
you.
Did end up talking for a little bit.